for a number of years. How many of you know sometimes you're the individual that God is going to work through to bring into this world a particular thing? Mary, a normal teenage girl, got picked to give birth to Jesus Christ. Wasn't always easy. Could you imagine being her? Wow. That's one whopper of a story, girl. Really? Huh. Nice try, not buying it. You know, I tell you what, there are things that God will give to us as individuals that it's our responsibility to grab a hold of and to hang on to them until they show up in this world. Amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, hold on. Amen. Hold on to what God's put in your heart. Hold on to what He has given you to do and what He's put in my heart. And it's just the calm buildup before the advance. I've been talking about that for a couple of months. And, you know, He wants all of us, me, us as a church, to have some calm in our life. To have some quiet in our life where we're waiting on the Lord. And we talk about revival. We like revival. Karen blessed me the day. She said she brought her lunch with her in case revival breaks out and we stay a long time. She's ready. Now, which one of us is going to pray over that lunch and multiply it? But, you know, there's the book over there. They told me their story, and there's a revival. Many of you have heard it. In 1906, broke out in Azusa, California. And the fellow that started it was the most unlikely character of all. He had had polio when he was a child, so his one eye was messed up and he couldn't see out of that one eye. And, you know, even if you would look at the eye would be distorted. You know, so he doesn't fit our typical picture of a great revivalist. You know what he did? He would come out when it was time for the services, and the services going and great things are happening. And he would sit kind of behind, somewhat under a peach crate. And he would sit there and wait. And wait. And wait until God showed him and told him what to do. And then he would do it. And the most outrageous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, in around our lifetime here, wow, went around the world in 6 years. You know, the Assembly of God Church went around in the world in 6 years as a result of starting at that revival. I mean, it's amazing. If you want to read, you know, there's a couple of them back there. It's entitled, They Told Me Their Stories. It's just incredible. But some calm quiet to wait and to hear God and then go. And He's got some stuff for us. There's a calm, there's a quiet, and there's a buildup that God wants to be taking place inside of me and inside of you and inside of us as a church. Amen? Because He's got some stuff in store. And Scott, one Wednesday night when I was talking about this, asked me, well, Pastor, how long do you think this is out there? I think it could be out there a year, 2 years, 2.5 years. Hold on. Turn and look at somebody and say, hold on. Anybody got a dream? Hold on. Hold on. I think about people like my dad would be one. This is kind of easy for me. Did anybody get to see that thing on Good Morning America? Or no. What was it? CBS. CBS. My sister Vega sent me a clip because my son Caleb got to be on it. And talking about Crazy Horse. But what was really cool for me is they had some clips of my dad. Or let me put it this way. Of the old man. Because that's what you'd call him. That's what he called himself, the old man. And I just said to Caleb, I said, he's a character, isn't he? My dad was a character. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he knew how to hold on to something. And there's a scene in there. He goes, egotistical? Of course I'm egotistical. I got to believe I can do it. How can I ask somebody to help if I don't believe I can do it? I mean, and yeah, that was a pretty good picture of him. You know, a lot of people wouldn't have liked my dad. Most people close to him didn't like him because he held on to a dream and he was after something. And boy, you got to fight past a lot of stuff if you're going to hang on. Amen. I plan on hanging on. How about you? Get your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 3. We kind of ended with this last week, and verse 12, it says this. The Apostle Paul says this, not that I have already obtained. How many of you would say the Apostle Paul at this point in his life was a little bit farther along than we are? He hasn't used any of us to write a New Testament. God hasn't. You know, so here's Paul, and he's 20 years into his life as a Christian, into ministry, I should say. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Leanne, are you ready? Sure. I may be a little bit, I don't know, unfair to people. I don't know. Okay, so here you go. This is Jesus. And this is the cause for which Jesus has laid hold of Leanne. Okay? Hold on. Now, as she's standing there holding on, everybody else, take your Bibles and open up to the book of Judges chapter 16, please. Judges 16. How many of you know God's got something for you to do? And you might be sitting there, what do I hold on to? Let me just simplify something for you today. Hold on to the Word. That'll show up later on. Hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God. Go ahead and step this way and tighten that up a little bit. Yeah. Got to kind of keep it tight. Judges. One of my favorite stories, but also a very sad story in the Bible. Judges chapter 16. Samson. Samson and Delilah. We know the story. But as I was reading over it and looking at it, God showed me some just points to kind of highlight and some things. How many of you know Samson had supernatural strength? Samson had a supernatural ability. And Judges chapter 15, for time's sake, I'm just going to bounce from place to place. But at verse 6, well, let's back up to verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, entice him, meaning Samson, and find out where his great strength lies. Oh, you know, I was reading this, and guess what picture I saw? How many times does Satan, when he wants to get at the plan of God in somebody, work through someone else to entice? So here you got Delilah, and you got the lords of the Philistines, and they want to shut Samson down. So what do? They come up to Delilah. You're not Delilah, but you get to be that right now. And Satan, lords of the Philistines, try working through her to get to. I wonder how many times Satan's trying to work through something to get to us to take out the plan of God for our life or to take us out. Amen. But she's got to hold on. She's got to hold on. She did not know what she might stand there for the whole sermon today. Hold on. Okay, so we're picking that up about in the middle of the verse. And by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him and afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Ooh, wonder what the devil offers us sometimes. Verse 6, so Delilah said to Samson, Please tell me where this great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. And Samson said to her, if you bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. That phrase, it repeats itself several times, and I found it interesting. And become like any other man. How many of you know you got something special in you? God's got something special in you. God's got something special for you to do. And you need to hold on. See, I grew up at Crazy Horse, which most of you know. And my dad would say to us all the time, you guys, you kids, this family is the only family in the world carving a mountain. There's no other family in the world carving a mountain. In the world, you are special because of that. And if you ever leave, you're just like everybody else, and you're no longer special. Heard that kid growing up. But then I met Jesus. And one day, God is so good, I'm driving by Crazy Horse. And I'm remembering what my dad said, if you ever leave, you're not special. But if you're here, you're someone special. I remember driving by Crazy Horse and just the Spirit of God just talking to me on the inside. And he just said, Joel, without Jesus, you'd be lost. But with Jesus, you're something special. Woohoo! Yeah! And now if people ever want to talk to me about, well, gee, that's so big and that's so awesome, Crazy Horse and everything, I just tell them, God's got something bigger for me to do. And you know what? That's truth. That mountain will not last for eternity. But everybody I get to share Jesus with and everybody that I get to encourage and strengthen in the Lord, that can last forever. Amen? Everybody you encourage, everybody you lead to the Lord, that lasts forever. I like what Kelly Dunning would say at the end of each school week in Samoa. He would get done and he and Patty would be in the office and they'd be going over the week and everything would be done. And Kelly would close a book and he'd say, it's in the book. It's written. It's in the book. You can't take it away from us. It's done. I want to tell you what. The things you do in the name of Jesus, in the love of God that you share, that is forever and that is eternal and that will have consequences that will last and last and there is no end. Isn't that awesome? Woo, turn and look at somebody and say, yeah, he's talking about you now. I mean, that's just good news. And Leanne is saying, Pastor, hurry up. Was that a yes? No, okay. So anyway, she binds him with these fresh bowstrings that aren't dried. And then she says, Philistines are upon you. And what does he do? He gets up and he breaks them. Rips them right off him. And then she's mad and she says, you know, you did this again. You lied to me. You weren't telling me the truth. Here. Please take and wrap that around you. Okay, that was easy. That was easy. He just kicked his wife. I also apologized her to this morning too. You know, tell me how I may bind him. How may I bind him? Yeah, you got to put that one on too. There you go. Put that one on. You know, how can I bind him? Can I get some help? Can I get some help, please? Amen, amen, amen. Michelle, thank you. Thank you. Would you give that to her and tell her to put that? Yeah, tell her to bind herself. And somebody get the end of that other rope there, would you please? Thanks, Sally. Amen. Let me. All right. Okay. Here. Can you get this one put on too? Here, I'll help. Go ahead. Get that one put on. Okay. She might need some more help. Can you get this one put on too? How about get that one put on? Now, I'm not sure I'd be the here, Dick, would you? That one? I'm not sure I'd want to be the person. Okay, let's just do this really fast. All right, I need about three more people real quick. Isaac. Lily. Oh, am I saying it wrong the whole time? Ernie. Okay. Terry, will you get this one? Please. Whoops! How about this one? Okay. Leanne, you still got to get this one on you. You got to get that one on you. Okay. Oh. You got to get that one on you. Okay. All right. And Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Okay, how many of you think, this is looking a little chaotic? A little bit chaotic. What happened in the process? She let go of the rope. Does that ever happen in our life? We have relationship with Jesus Christ. And then all these other things come along. All these other things come along. And they try to attach themselves to us. And sometimes we attach ourselves to them. And without knowing it, we let go of the rope. We actually let go of our source of life. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, thank you. You may go back and sit down. Just like you are. Just go ahead. Go for it. Those of you, let go of the ropes. Let go of the ropes. You can just... No falling. Okay. Lay hold. Lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of you. I want to finish this. I need to finish this. Verse 10. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If you bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to, bound them to him and said to him, "Philistines are upon you, Samson." And they were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me with what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave seven locks of my head," which is his hair, "into the web of the loom." Why is this important? What's he getting closer to? He's getting closer. He's getting closer. Have you ever heard the phrase, flirting with the hurting? What's he doing? He's flirting with the hurting. He's thinking, won't get me. Can I ask a question? How many of you drive down the highway speeding and think, they won't get me? That was awesome. That was so cool. I appreciate it. Praise God. We're not going to pick on those of you that drive down the highway speeding. We are not going to pick on you. Those signs are merely suggestions. But it's like, it won't happen to me. How many of us have that mentality? It's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. I think I started a story last week and didn't finish it. A fellow who antiqued himself out of ministry. I think I started it, but I didn't finish it. There's this guy, he's a pastor. And he liked antiques. And he started buying and selling antiques. He just really enjoyed it. And pretty soon, he got so busy buying and selling antiques, he didn't have time to pastor anymore. And he antiqued himself right out of ministry. What gets us? What gets us? And how many of you know, was Delilah beautiful? To Samson, she was. And she, you know, I don't know what the definition of beautiful was back then, but in his eyes, she was beautiful. How many of you know that everything the enemy will try to get us with doesn't always have a pitchfork and horns? Doesn't always have a black hood and a big sickle on the side. Sometimes it's stuff that we're very attracted to. Amen. And we can get so caught up with that stuff that we end up letting go. Verse 15, and she said to him, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where you get your great strength or where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she persisted. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. So does this pressure go away? Does it just leave? What does she keep doing? She keeps pushing him. She keeps putting pressure on him. She keeps working him. She keeps working him. She keeps working him. We could do it this way. I get questions all the time. What's working you? What's working you? What's pushing on you? See, this is where I'm the broken record. And I know it. But God is putting it in my heart. Because He has given us, He has given you something to lay hold of. But there's stuff pushing you. There's stuff pressing you. There's stuff pulling on you to get your focus off of Jesus. Amen? You know, I love this. Well, that could never happen to me. That's one of the most dangerous thoughts there is. That's so dangerous. That could never happen to me. Even if they all deny you, Lord, I will not. Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me. You know, there's a verse of scripture that says, take heed to yourselves. We got to take heed to what's pulling on us. We got to take heed to those things that just keep applying pressure and keep applying pressure, and something just doesn't seem right about them. I could really meddle. What are the things that cause people to let go of the rope in life? I'm just going to keep going. And it came to pass when she persisted, when she pressed against him daily with his words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Wow. She wouldn't let up. How many of you know, man, there are times the devil will not let up. He won't let up till you make him. I tell you, we've got to figure out our authority in the name of Jesus Christ and start to use it. And stand against him in all those places where he has things pressing us, where he has things pestering us, where he has things showing up, and we know there's something wrong with that. I'll tell you what, we got to drop that rope. Not the lifeline, but those things that press us, that are not of God. And I don't know what they are in your life, but I'll bet you do. I think about the garden, you know, and verse 19, the sower sows the seed, verses 18 and verses 19, you know, that third type of soil, that's where all the weed seeds blow in. That's where all the weed seeds. How many of you, since I like to ask stupid questions on occasion, how many of you are living in the world? How many of you are living in the world? Help me with that one there, please. Every hand goes up. Yep, we're all living in the world. I know it's a ridiculous question, but guess what's in the world? Weed seeds. You are surrounded by weed seeds. You turn your computer on, and there's weed seeds. You turn your TV on, and there's weed seeds. You stand at the grocery store, totally innocent, and look at magazine covers, and there's weed seeds. You can do a 360 degree circle and find weed seeds all around you. And that verse of scripture there in Mark, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things, weed seeds enter in. How many of you know we got weed seeds to be thrown out? We got ropes to be cutting off. And some of them are very attractive. Some of them we even like. How many of you know this verse of scripture over in Hebrews? The passing pleasures of sin. How many of us, just in all honesty, would say, yeah, sin can be fun? What was it, my sister Ann, she had this thing. Why is it everything I like is either illegal, immoral, or fattening? You know? How many of you know sin can become fun? But like that scripture says, the passing pleasures of sin, they'll cost. How many of you want this record to go to the next line? That's up to God. I got to finish reading this. Okay. We got through verse 16, verse 17. That he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come onto my head. Oh, he told her the secret. So she sets it up. She gets him to fall asleep. All his hair is cut off. And she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he gets up and goes, I'll just shake myself like every other time. And he didn't realize the Lord had departed from him. That's kind of shocking to me. He didn't realize that the Lord had departed from him. What happened to their closeness? What happened to their relationship if the Lord could depart and he didn't even notice it? Well, I did not plan on going here this morning, you guys. I didn't plan on being here this long. But I believe it's going to bring freedom for people. What does the Bible tell us that sin does to our conscience? Sears it. And pretty soon, we get a seared conscience, which means what? We can't feel anymore. Life is void. I bet you if you would have asked Samson, he would have never got to this point. He would have never got to this point. But he gets up and he shakes himself and he's got no strength. And what happens? Philistines grab him. And they put out his eyes. That gets me. From the strength that he had to being blind. And then, this is my picture, how grinding mills used to work. There would be a round thing that would come up in the middle, and then there'd be a pole that would go out, and there'd be a stone on that pole, and you'd put like a donkey or a horse on the end, and they'd just walk around in a circle, and that big stone would crush what needed to be crushed. And instead of a donkey there, there's Samson going around in a circle in the middle of the city of the Philistines for everybody to mock at him and to spit on him, to throw stuff at him. What's the devil want to do to us? Man, I'm going to watch out for that stuff. You know that? If you were where I am and looking at that, that is twisted. Oh, what a tangle web we weave. That's not clear. That's not clean. That's not innocent. Oh, Jesus. He's pretty basic. He's pretty solid. You pull on him. Man. Simple. It's not confusing. It's not complicated. Full of life. Amen. How many of you know I got way, 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 way more notes? You ready for me to shift gears and maybe make a little transition here and not go over all the notes that I have? Just for this purpose, go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You getting anything out of today? Yeah, I could do something here. And we're going to go to John chapter 15, and we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. John 15, I've been reading this verse, this chapter here, for about 2 months now. John 15. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, John chapter 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. How many of you in here would say you're a branch? Can I get a show of hands? How many of you, you're a branch? Okay, now there's another question. What kind of branch are you? Are you a branch that produces fruit, bears fruit? Or are you a branch that's bearing no fruit? Let me do this. Which branch do you want to be? How many of you want to be the branch that's bearing fruit? Can I get, you know, like hands up and a big amen or a knotted head on that? Or not a knotted head, a knotted head. Okay. But we all want to be branches that bear fruit. What does he do to those branches? He prunes them. How many of you know that's better than what he does to the other branches? He cuts them off and throws them away. So turn and look at, or just turn and look up and say, prune me, Lord. What's that mean he's trying to do? What's that mean he's trying to do if he's trying to prune you? Trying to produce more, but what does he have to do to prune you? You got to cut some stuff off, doesn't he? Amen? Turn and look at someone and say, I love my pastor. Amen. Say it again like you mean it. Amen. All right. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, that as the branch cannot. Somebody say cannot. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Friends, you can't. You can't bear fruit if you are not connected to the vine. And Jesus Christ is the vine. And another way to say it, just for time's sake, you know, because I like the practical part of it. Well, how do I stay connected to Jesus? He's up in heaven somewhere. Jesus and the Word are one and the same. First John, not First John, John chapter 1, 1 through 5, verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He became flesh. Amen? You want to be connected to Jesus? Be connected to the Word. You know? Yeah, I got to do this one. I got to do this one. Okay. Thank you, God. You're with me, right? You're with me. You're staying with me. You're not going to disconnect on me. You're going to treat me with the same respect you treated those gifts that we brought in here over the last months. You're going to treat me with the same respect you treated Larry Mosley. And you let him talk till after 12 and stayed hooked up. No, I'm serious. You're going to treat me with the same respect you treated Patty Dunning. And you let her talk almost to 12 o'clock and you stayed hooked up. You treat me with the same respect you treated Guy Dunning. Because I am a gift to this body as well. And one of the things people do is they begin to take their pastor for granted. It's just Joel. Well, it's not just Joel. It isn't just me. If it was just me, you wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else because there wouldn't be no life in this place with me, just me. Amen. Turn and someone says, he preaches truth. Amen. I don't want to have to quit early. I don't want to have to quit based on the clock. But you know what I do? I figure this, the Holy Ghost is the best teacher there is. He's the best teacher there is. And you know something about good teachers? They know their students. And good teachers know when their students disconnect. See, I can stand up here and know people disconnect. And that's like, okay, move on. That's like trying to talk to your teenager when your teenager ain't listening. How many parents ever been there? How many of you parents kept talking? How many of you parents wish you hadn't kept talking? Come back for a more opportune time. Amen. I didn't mean to say any of that stuff either. Wow. Wow. Well, I don't think it's just on my heart. I think it's in God's heart. God spoke to my heart one time. One of the many times he spoke to my heart. And he said this to me because, I just put it this way. He said, Joel, I care for my shepherds also. You know, he cares for his shepherds as well. And I'll preface this with this. It's been good in here, you guys. It has been good in here lately. Friendships, relationship. It's been good. It's been fun. But I remember in a church I was at prior to, it wasn't good and it wasn't fun. And if Ron Tietzort was here today, he would repeat something that Tim Davidson said, that Tim found out when he got into ministry. Sheep bite. And I've been bit a few times. And like I just got done saying, lately I ain't been bit, but I've been bit. And it hurts. It's no fun. I don't like getting bit. Renee and I were talking today about dogs, and you know, she took in a dog and you know, it was a little bit questionable, and it bit her. Yeah. Dogs bite. Sheep bite. Turn and look at somebody and say, don't bite. Hey, man, you still okay? How many of you want me to move on? Yeah. Okay, Sally. Just for that, I'm going to camp here a while. All right, but I got something in here that God gave me. Verse 5. For I am the... Oh, no. Mark. Did you get to Mark? No. Did I say Mark? No. Well, that was the other one, but then I stuck one in the middle. Did you guys all miss that? Yeah. Yes, you missed it. Praise God, because I think I said the wrong reference. Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Turn and look at somebody and say, it's still good. Amen. Verse 38, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened, Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went,
that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. You know, sometimes we're going to have to find another illustration or something where he entered into a garage and a certain guy named Jim. You know, because I am not picking on ladies today. All you ladies, turn and look at your husband and say, he is not picking on me today. He's, you know, I'm not picking on just the women. That is not why we're here, but there's a point here. All the other times we've been here, I've been picking on the women, but not today. No, I'm kidding. Oh, okay. Entered a certain woman named Martha, welcomed him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said to him, okay, I'll stop there. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. What do you think Mary had to fight through? What do you think Mary had to fight past to sit there at his feet? Had to fight past Martha. Mm-hmm. Same distractions as Martha, guilt. Was that typically where you saw women in those days? What about all the men sitting there throwing looks at her? What are you doing here? She had to fight through a bunch of stuff, didn't she? She had to fight through a whole lot of stuff to stay there and stay focused. Amen? How many of us have to fight through some stuff to stay there and stay focused? You gotta fight past some stuff. I got a lot of pairs of binoculars here. I got one back there. I got one over here. I need some more volunteers. What's that? You got some? I'd like a lot of people to do this. Would you please? How many people will help me with this? You just got to look through binoculars. Your game? Okay, go in the back and look. I won't make you do it up here. Who else is going to help me? Who else wants to look through binoculars? There's another pair up there. Who else is going to help me? Dick, you're going to help me? That's all you got to do is you just got to look through binoculars. Go stand in the back and look through binoculars. There's a yellow pair back there. Jim, you going to help me? You look through them every day. Now we got a scope up here. If somebody's really technical-minded and wanted to look at that hunting scope. Terry, you want to do that one? So, you guys, focus on that. With your binoculars, focus on that right over there. Why was it that mostly men volunteered to look through the binoculars? Okay, go ahead and get your focus on that. Work on them, get them adjusted, do all of that. Focus on that sign. Stand up. Yeah. No, just over here. That's why I looked at them. Okay? Here's the point. As they are sitting there in those binoculars, and they're looking on that, this whole section of the church could do what? They could stand up, and they wave their arms, and then you got people like Kim who, he already lost focus. He swung over there to look over here. But when you look through those, how many have looked through binoculars before? A lot. When you look through them, what do? They focus and they narrow down that scope. Why? Because they want to hit the target. And they realize there's stuff all around them. Messing with them. There's stuff. How many of you know there is stuff all around you? All right. Thank you, guys. How many of you could zero in on that and just get rid of some of the distractions? Amen. For a while. But you had to stay focused. How much did Mary have to focus on? How much did she have to focus on? Okay. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was distracted. I love that. Jan, I think you said it. Martha had to fight through all of the distractions. Or Mary had to fight through all the distractions that Jan, or that Martha was distracted with. Can you picture what she looked like? I kind of see her just like this. And there is stuff going on all around her. People are looking at her. I don't know if Martha had tin pots or clay pots. But I think she could have been tempted to be banging them in the kitchen. Trying to get Mary's attention. What's trying to get your attention? I know. Turn and look at somebody and say, he's still a broken record. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? That's just a crazy question. Do you not care? You think Martha is maybe tempted to play the martyr? I think Martha's tempted to play the martyr. And did you know what? I used to own the kingdom of Martyrsville. I owned that town. I was the king martyr. I owned it. I knew all about being a martyr. I knew all about poor me. I knew all about that stuff. Anybody else in here ever lived there? Turn to look at somebody and say, move! You know, just move. We live in places we shouldn't live. Poor me. Doesn't anybody care? I could never say to Jesus, you don't care. No matter what I'm going through. I could never say that to him because I know he cares. He has already proved it. He's already lived it. He's already cared. He's already died on that cross for you. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, he cares. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Michelle, I love what you did. What'd I do? You went before the Lord, knowing your year coming up, and you said, God, there isn't anything I want in my life that you don't want me involved with. And you cut off a bunch of ropes. And you cut off a bunch of things that was pulling on you. Were any of those things hard to let go of? Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever want to question him? Say, are you sure, God? But I really like this one. Mm-hmm. We go through that stuff. You want one back? Okay. Because you're not supposed to. And even for this stretch, you and your husband have made a huge sacrifice. I should shut up and move on or make you start crying. Okay. There's things that we just got to let go of. Amen. Brian, we use motorcycles for ministry, right? You're far better at it than I am. You know, but we use motorcycles for ministry. And we were headed on a week-long motorcycle ride. And I had committed to helping Patty Dunnick out in Samoa. And my wife was sitting there when we were having a conversation, and I had committed to Patty, whatever works the best. And we asked, what's the best when we come to Samoa? A week or 2 weeks? Oh, 2 weeks. Well, I had committed to that, you know, helping Patty do whatever, but then motorcycle ministry came up. Riding down through Colorado and Wyoming, and I don't even know if Chariots of Light was started yet then. No. And then so I'd called Patty and said, I can come for 1 week. Yeah, I'm glad you're shaking your hand at me, head at me. And my beautiful wife, what about what you told Patty?
I didn't get to go on that motorcycle trip. Called Patty back, and it was 2 weeks. I wanted to go. Okay, amen. Look at what Martha had to do to focus. And Jesus answered and said to her, or what Mary had to do to focus. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You know, you ought to latch onto that. You got something you're supposed to focus on? You got something in your life you're supposed to hold on to? And you know it's from God? Trust in Him. Trust Him in this. "But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Not only will it not be taken away from her, who was there to protect Mary to see to it that she got it? Yeah, Jesus. You know what? You put your focus on what He has for you, He'll be there to protect you to see that you get it. Last verse of Scripture in Hebrews. Okay. Last verse of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn and nudge somebody and say, "Yes, this is the last verse." You said you'd stay with me. Amen. Wow. Hebrews chapter 12. It's interesting how it all ties together. I didn't come here for verse 1. But when I was studying and reading, God highlighted verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Leanne? Luann. How did I get that backwards today? I don't know. What would it have been like if we asked you to run around the sanctuary a time or two with all them ropes tied on? Wouldn't have worked so well. Perhaps you might have fallen over. You know, I'd like to watch that. Would you come back up here and... No, don't want to do it? It wouldn't have worked well, would it? Notice this verse of Scripture here. You know, middle part. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you want to run that race? And then I like this last verse of Scripture here that we're going to look at. It's going to bring out one point. Looking unto Jesus. Everybody say, looking. Get the binoculars out. Narrow down that view. Narrow down that scope and get it in focus. Looking unto Jesus. And what is He to you? The author and the finisher of your faith. Just think about it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Where do we need to keep our focus? On Jesus, on the Word. Looking unto Jesus. How many of you want to produce fruit? How many of you will let Jesus, how many of you will let God prune you? How many of you will let Him cut stuff off? How many of you will let Him eliminate stuff from your life? How many of you will let Him talk to you about stuff that you don't need in your life? How many of you will let Him talk to you about stuff that the enemy has secretly introduced into your life through what appear to be innocent vessels, only to get you? How many of you know sometimes we can't even see that ourselves? We can't even see that ourselves. I've had things introduced into my life that were not of God, and introduced through what? Avenues where I would welcome it? This is good. Okay, how did I get there? Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is the author of your faith?
I want you to ponder that. Who's the author of your faith? You? See, because here's what we do. Here's what people will do. They will be in the middle of a battle. They'll be needing to walk something out by faith. And it's amazing to me how many times when I'm talking to people and they're walking something out by faith, it might be healing, it might be finances, it might be a relationship, it might be whatever. And you know what they'll do? They will bring up something or somebody and that somebody's experience and allow that person's experience to become the author of their faith. Well, healing, I don't know that healing is mine. So-and-so, they tried that and it didn't work. That person then becomes the author of their health. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why do we have the marriage that we do, she and I? Because she married possibly the second greatest guy that was ever born into the world. No, that was not it. That wasn't it. It's because I married the second greatest woman that was ever born into the world. I was putting Mary before her because Jesus said Mary was blessed among women. Okay, so that's why I did that. Second greatest woman ever born into the world. That's closer. But no, that's not it. She's third. No, I'm kidding. No, it's because she and I are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith for our marriage. Let's see. Didn't I get mad at you this morning? And she thanked me for it. I did. I didn't yell. Did I yell? I didn't yell. Did I speak firm? With authority? I did. She was putting herself down. And I had enough of that. And I just let her know, I would never tolerate somebody else talking about you like that. And I don't appreciate hearing you talk about yourself like that. It ticks me off. Do you understand? And she went, thank you. I'm there to protect her. Even from herself, if need be. How many of you know sometimes you need to protect people from themselves? Looking unto Jesus, focusing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. How many of you trust Him enough to prune you? How many of you trust Him enough to eliminate some things for your life, from your life? So that you can do what? Produce more fruit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Did you get anything out of this today? Then my other question would be, did you get rid of anything today? Amen. I got another illustration coming up. Amen. Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, Sally. Can I get my prayer team to come on up here? Brian and Sally and Kim and Betsy are there and Jan is back there. Praise God. Amen. How many of you have ever had something in your life that you had to get rid of? And you tried and tried and tried to do it on your own. And you needed somebody to stand there and pray with you or pray for you. Had a wrestling match that I was going through that the devil presented me. And the best thing, one of the absolute best things I did, was I told Diana about it. I said, sweetheart, would you please pray for me? I need help. Guess what? That was such an incredible source of strength and help. Having somebody else pray for me and fighting against those things
that the enemy was wanting me to latch on to. Amen? Hallelujah. Dixie, would you go over and turn out the house lights there, please? I'm looking around, but I'm still going to do this. How many of you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. And you can turn the track lights on too. Just the house lights. Thank you. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Was that everybody? Was that everybody? I don't want to just take things for granted. I'm going to finish with a word of prayer. And if you have something in your life you want prayed about, you want someone to pray for you, it could be healing. Maybe you've got somebody on your heart you want to pray for. It doesn't have to be with the subject matter we talked about today, but I would encourage you this. God is obviously wanting to do some pruning. Best way I know how to say it. And if you got something in your life that you want help with, or maybe you've got something you're not sure about, you might not be sure about something. God, should I let go of this or not? Should I or shouldn't I? Well, you can get people just to pray with you and you'd have wisdom. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we do praise you and we worship you. I glorify you, God. I honor you. Just pray in the Spirit right now, please, would you? Just pray in the Spirit. Those of you that are filled with the Spirit and you pray in tongues, just pray in the Spirit right now. Father God, we want to be real in this place here. We want to be real in this place, God. We don't want to be pretending. We don't want to be playing games. No, 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 no. We want to be real with you. Father, I know this happens. I know that there are people throughout this congregation that they have been in their prayer closets at home and they've been crying out to you, but then laying on their bed at night, crying out to you, asking for help, asking for help. But Father, sometimes we hide things and we think we have to deal with it all by ourselves, and we don't. Father, you want to help each and every one of us. You want to work in our lives. You want to cause us to walk in victory. You want to cause us to walk in triumph. And we plan on just being real with you. We just plan on being honest with you. Father, today in this place, we open up our hearts to you. We open up our lives to you. And God, you love us. And none of us can look at you and say, well, God, don't you care? Of course you care. Of course you care. So Father, just let the Holy Spirit move in this place today, even more. Move in this place today. Move in this place today. Move in our hearts and talk to us. And just continue to lead and guide us into victory. And Father, as we get ready to finish here, I just pray for each and every person. If there's even the slightest thought of going up and saying, hey, pray with me, pray for me, that those people will respond. They will just simply respond to your call. Because when you call us to something, God, you're there to help us with it. So I thank you, Father God, and I worship you right now, and I praise you, and I give you the glory, and I thank you that you work in our lives. In Jesus' precious, precious name, amen. Amen. If you're here and you want...